buddy, here we go. Base is loaded, bottom of the ninth. Are you going to step up? Oh, yeah. Because it's winning time, you magnificent son of a bitch.
The future of sports radio starts now.
We all have ways of coping. I use sex and awesomeness.
With Notch.
Time for me to go back to broadcasting school. I have with me a legend in Detroit television and radio broadcasting. I don't think he agrees with me. His name's Mark the Man Wilson. He really is the man. ESPN Detroit. He also worked at, how many TV stations in Detroit you work at?
Well, Fox 2 and WWJ, Big 6, CBS 62. So, actually, well, Comcast Pass, when Pass was still around. And I guess, I don't know. Five, I guess it was.
You also worked in Miami TV, but you didn't have a situation like they had for Game 6 of the NBA Finals where they were actually live feeding the footage of the fans trying to beat their way back into the stadium. They're pounding on the glass doors. You never had anything like that when you were in Miami.
No, but I was part, because I don't even know why I was part of this, but in the 1984 mayoral election in Miami, we had the worst single newscast I've ever seen. So I know what you said, that they got this great shot of them pounding to get back into the Heat game. Blah, 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 blah. I actually saw four different reporters use the F word on live television, and I wish I had a copy of that. So that's as weird as I ever saw in Miami.
How many times do you think you would have been on Deadspin had Deadspin existed back in the 80s when you were doing Miami TV?
None, because I was stupid. I was never dumb enough to blow out a swear word. I should have, because like that chick that just got on from Spokane, you see that one?
Everybody
ran
it. Yes, I did.
Everybody ran it. And all she did was make it. That was just a stand-up that made the air that shouldn't have made the air. That happens every time, you know, a lot. And she gets to have that kind of national pub. I made a huge mistake here. I should have just swore.
A.J. Clemente from Bismarck. First words on the air.
Right. But you know what? What happened to that guy? I mean, I don't see him doing anything now.
Yeah, he's sitting eating Pringles on the couch watching Sunday Night Baseball.
That was a pretty quick – that was 15 minutes of fame.
Literally.
Literally 15 minutes, dude.
So let's talk Detroit sports. On behalf of Minnesota sports fans, I want to thank you for the Pistons totally screwing up Flip Saunders' draft, because they took at 8 the guy that the Wolves were going to take at 9, and then that started a chain reaction where the Timberwolves, they traded down, and they got a player who the scouting report on him says if the Stars, if Love and Rubio can talk him into not being a douchebag, he could be a good pick. That's the upside for Shabazz Muhammad.
Let me just tell you this about Shabazz Muhammad. I love the kid. I watched the kid in Vegas in high school. And I got to meet his dad, Ron Holmes, who played at USC. And I said a long time ago that this guy is going to be so much better as a pro than he'll ever be in college. Because once he gets to go freeform and do a little bit more of what he can do, which is kind of just let it all hang out, he's going to be a better – like Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph played 1 year at Michigan State. 1 year. Now, that's already 12 years. This guy's in his 12th year. I know it's hard to believe. Dozen years in the NBA, and look what Zach's turned into. I mean, a couple-time All-Star. He's a rock for that team. And I think Muhammad, I'm not saying he's a clone of Randolph, but he can be that kind of guy that's going to be so much better in the NBA because of his bloodlines, because of where he comes from and how he was tutored and where he grew up, than he'll ever have been in college at UCLA.
He's going to drive Rick Adelman crazy. He's going to drive Kevin Love crazy, because Rubio's going to pass it to Muhammad, and Muhammad's just going to shoot up 25 footers, and Love's going to be standing there. He'll get like 25 rebounds a game, probably.
Well, but that's what Kevin Love does so good, or well, is it good or well? That's what his thing is.
He does things both good and well.
Well, Kevin Love is, he's, to me, he's earrings on a pig. That's what he is. I mean, he's, you know, he has no business being with that thing.
Are you calling the Timberwolves the pig?
They are the pig.
In this
Sorry,
scenario.
Ever since KG, it's what you've been. I mean, that's what it is there. Not you personally, they're not you, but, you know, still. How much better would Kevin Love be? Maybe not numbers-wise, because the numbers he's always going to put up, especially the team that needs the numbers. But, God, what he could do for any franchise that was on the cusp of getting some, what he could do for the Clippers, what he could do for Memphis, what he could do with the current talent at places like that, that blows it out the door. That makes them San Antonio. That makes them almost, no, I wouldn't say the Heat, because the tropical trio thing is, that's just too much for me. But, I mean, they've come with it. You know, they said they were going to do it, and they did it. I mean, where in life do you get that? Seriously. So what? How far away are the Timberwolves from anything? It's the same as the Pistons right now.
No.
What?
Rubio and Love, we really don't know what we have because they've been together for 2 years, but they've only played about 20% of the games together because one of them's been hurt. There's the potential for a 40-45 win team there. We haven't seen what they can do over the long term because one of them's been hurt, or both of them's been hurt.
You know, that's the NBA, isn't it? Where you make it out to be that you have a 40 or 45 win season, you've done something spectacular. I mean, that's the sad part about that league. That's why 22 teams are out before they tip it up on Halloween or right around the 1st of November.
Hey, don't puncture my life, Raf, pal.
I'm not, but I don't believe in that. Hey, we can win 40 games, maybe. I don't care.
We could, maybe.
I don't want 40 wins. I want to know, if you can't tell me definitively that you really can do something, and I'm not saying you have to win the championship, but that you don't have a team that can at least compete for your own stupid division and then compete at least in the conference when you get to the first, second round of the postseason, I don't care what you got. I think it's a waste of time. And that's what the NBA is for about 22 teams every season. It's a waste of time. Ask the Milwaukee Bucks fans how happy they've been with 45-win seasons. Ask the Atlanta Hawks fans how happy they've been with 45-win seasons. Golden State Warrior fans with Denver Nuggets. I mean, it's just endless. When's the last time the Sixers won anything? 83?
Yeah, 83. They did go to the finals, though, with Iverson once.
They did. They had a little blip on the map with AI, you know, and he's done that a couple of times with different teams. Little blip on the map. They did, but they haven't won anything. I mean, nine teams, what is it, nine since 1979 have won the championship? Definitely. We just talked about that the other day.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynasties in the NBA.
And as long as the tropical trio stays together, I don't know. I don't see anything on the horizon. Maybe San Antonio again. I mean, the Lakers are so far away from doing anything now. The Clippers, I don't know, does Doc Rivers make that big of a difference? Maybe. But it's still the Clippers until further notice. Prove it to me. They've been completely out of anything for 40 years, 35 years, well, since the old Buffalo Braves days. I don't know. The NBA's weird. And I understand what you're saying. If you could get the Timberwolves to a 45-win plateau, you'd say that was a pretty good year. Get into the postseason, maybe snake out a first-round something or other. That would be a good year.
So what do the Pistons have to do to end their decade-long break from relevance?
Bring back Flip.
Well, he's ours now. You can't have him back.
You know what amazes me? Since Flip Saunders left the Pistons, we've had 1 year of Michael Curry, 2 years of John Kuster, and now 2 years of Lawrence Frank. And it's been 5 years of absolute futility. Just a waste of time. Again, another waste of time. And Dumars is lucky to have his gig. I'm the one guy who says that Joe shouldn't be fired. He should just be bumped upstairs. He should be the emperor of the Pistons. Just sit there and push paper clips or something. Let someone else do this.
Give him a couple of robes to wear.
Well, everyone says, fire Joe. I said, well, come on, man. The guy's been here since 85 as a player or executive or something. I mean, the guy has earned his right to be a Piston. Shouldn't just put him out with the wash. Maybe someone would hire him. I don't know. But since Flip left, it's really funny to me when we go back to that last year of Flip, still getting to the conference finals but losing and thinking that wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough that Flip went to the conference finals for 3, 4, 5 straight years. That's not good. We got to fire this guy.
Now, how do you get players there? Because NBA is a star-driven league, and you're talking about the coaching problems, but the roster doesn't really look that impressive. What do you think about Caldwell Pope? Is he the kind of guy that can help turn things around, or should they have drafted Burke or someone else?
I would have gone with Trey Burke, and I know the arguments on both sides, that you got a guy like KCP, who I've seen him play at Georgia, who's a pretty good player, you know, pretty good ink to cut it in the NBA. You got to be star, like you said, star quality. He's not a star. I think he's okay. I think the landscape, I think there's probably 25 guys in the NBA that does what he does. Trey Burke, and this counts for something to me. First of all, let me give you a quote. Oh, my God, the Pistons drafted Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on buying season tickets, said no one in Metro Detroit. All right? Trey Burke is now a Detroit Piston. They're lined up to get tickets, whether the people from Ann Arbor or even Columbus, Ohio, his hometown, make the drive in. They'll watch him. They'll pay money to watch him. And right now, let me tell you, you can fire – I think you just heard some fireworks in the background. You can fire a cannon in the palace and hit nobody. They need that first and foremost because that franchise does not do well when no one shows up. They're much better when there's fans and there's action and there's electricity in that building. Burke would have done that. That counts for something. It's not just, oh, so what's a Trey Burke? You're a bunch of homers. I know. I'm not even a Michigan guy. But I would have told you that him at the Palace with a Piston uniform on would make a huge difference right off the bat from day one. And Brandon Knight could stay in that same backcourt. He can go to the two, let Burke run the show. Hell, you know what? How about an unconventional 1A where you got Burke maybe controlling the play at one point because he can create. So can Brandon Knight. It'd take a lot of pressure off BK7, and maybe allow Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond, who I do think are pretty good players, who I think could take you somewhere. They're the future of the league. They're Tim Duncan's of the future. I don't hate to compare to Duncan because he's so freaking good, and still is to this day, really. And I don't want to compare him. But they have that ability to at least shadow or mirror that a little bit. And I think that it's not totally devoid of talent. There is some talent. Drummond is a huge. He's 20 years old, and he's already shown a propensity for double-double like Kevin Love. Greg Monroe is double-double as well as Kevin Love for the most part, has been consistent about that last 2 years. So I think that I know your people who might be listening to you are really interested in this Piston crap, but
I tell people what they're interested
passionate.
In.
You asked me a question about Trey Burke. I think that was the one guy in the draft to one team that would have made a huge difference, and it didn't happen. And that was just stupid.
I think the key is letting the people know what they should care about and then giving them a reason to care about it. That's the whole point. I can talk about whatever I want.
I should have said that. You're right. I take that back. Screw y'all. If you don't care about this, then you're not a sports fan.
They're listening for me and for the guests. They're not really listening for the subject matter. So you could talk about Justin Verlander and how he's suffering. He's losing his fastball because of Kate Upton.
It had nothing to do with Kate Upton.
It's not a coincidence, my man. I'm telling you.
Nothing to do. First of all, the guy gets more chicks than we'll ever dream about getting.
Then why is he struggling?
Some of them are.
Then why is he struggling?
Maybe. Well, I think he's thrown a lot of innings in a short period of time. I think he's been, he was thrust into a situation. Dude, he's been around. I'll never forget the two starts he made in 05. He comes up in 05. That's when the All-Star game was at Comerica. He makes two starts. They were terrible. You know who saved his career here? Do you know they wanted to trade him? Alan Trammell, now the bench coach with Kirk Gibson in Arizona, saved his career. You know why?
Why?
Because in 05, when the Tigers were struggling to get fannies in the seats and it didn't look like anything was going to happen anytime soon, they were 2 years removed from the worst year in the history of the American League with 119 losses. 2 years removed. And then they signed Pudge and Magny Ordóñez and got a little bit better. But in Trammell's third and final year, he decided they shouldn't keep him. They want management. I think Dave Dombrowski would have kept Verlander in 05 and let him just struggle his way through that year, and it could have killed him. Instead, Trammell almost pleaded that they send him back down to the minors. I think he went back to Erie AA and let it start fresh in 06. And that was the best move they could have made for that guy. I'm telling you, I was at both starts that Verlander made in 05, and he was awful. I mean, the guy was really Joel Zamaya, who ended up as a twin for a bit, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Zamaya was the guy between the two of them that was supposed to be the stud. He was the starter in the minors, and they made him a relief pitcher, which was a huge mistake because he got hurt incessantly. And Verlander was kind of the afterthought. But then JV comes back in 06, just like they thought. Trammell was gone. Leland was hired. And he was off and running. Now he's thrown a lot of innings. That's 06, 07, 08, 09, 10, 11. I mean, it's a lot of innings. So I don't know why we would think that he was going to continually. You look at the history of starting pitchers in baseball, if they rely on the heater. Look at how Smoltz went down with Atlanta. Maddox was never a hot, 95-mile-an-hour guy.
He was a finesse guy. He was a control guy.
So was Glavin. I picked the Braves because, 15 straight years to the postseason, I tend to go with that and see where the success was from.
Yeah.
And I've known Johnny Smoltz since high school, since he was at Lansing-Waverly High School. So I know a little bit about the genesis of how Smoltz, hurt himself almost the same kind of time period as Verlander. And then, of course, went to the bullpen for 3 years, then came back as a starter and finished his career, and he probably ended up in the Hall of Fame. I think Verlander's hit that same kind of seven-year itch thing where people are with the expectations of him still firing at 99 as he was doing 7 years ago are unrealistic. So what Verlander has to do is some work. He's got to figure out how to do the pitching thing now, not just the throwing or the heater thing, but how to do the pitching thing. And I think he's struggling with that a little bit. But I do believe that because he's so precise in his workout regimen and he's so good at when he picks his spots, he'll find it, he'll get it. He's not done by any stretch. It better not be. They just signed him to a long-term deal for $28 million a year.
This is why I have you on, because I kept thinking it was all about Kate Upton, and here you are with your objective
Dude.
Sports analysis. You're setting
Dude,
me straight.
With chicks. If you want to go that route, that's fine. He was dating a couple of babes that he came here with Emily, and I loved her, and then he dumped her like a hot box of rocks. And did I just say that, JV? Sorry, man. Didn't mean to frank you. And then I've seen him around town. He gets babes like there's no dude. Kate Upton, let me tell you something. Kate Upton ranks about fifth of the chicks I've seen him with as far as best looking.
She's
ones.
Fifth on his power rankings?
She's easy a fifth, a five. He's had so much better. There's a couple of babes that would blow your mind. If Kate Upton blows your mind, the two that I'm thinking of, Justin, would be so much better.
So back to the Pistons for a second, because
yes.
Their arena is way out in the suburbs. Are they thinking about moving to the new Red Wings arena downtown? Would that be good for business for them?
Well, I would have told you never in the past when Bill Davidson owned the Pistons, because there was this bone of contention between Ilitch, who, by the way, turns 84 in about a week, 2 weeks, I think. But when when Bill Davidson passed away and Tom Goris, Mr. Hollywood, took over and bought the franchise, I think there is some possibility that Goris would investigate making it a multi-purpose arena. I just think that it depends on Ilitch more and the family if they want the Pistons there and what they could do to make money with the Pistons. All about the money with the Ilitches anyhow. So if they can make money with the Pistons and they think it's worthwhile, I think that there's a chance. But the Palace is a great venue. I mean, today it holds up as a modern facility. It was built in 87, opened in 88. So, it's 25 years old now, and you think, oh, that's getting up there. But that, if you go into the Palace today, you'd swear that thing was built, you know, a couple years ago. So it's held up nicely, and it would be a shame not to see something in there other than, you know, the Ice Capades or something, you know, Snoopy's, uh-huh. You know, or the H&R Puffin stuff or whatever those things
hey,
are.
Don't mess with H&R Puffin stuff.
What's the other
those
one?
Are fighting words.
Scooby-Doo. I love the fact that when Mike Tyson was here at the Fox Theater the next weekend, it was Scooby-Doo.
Okay. So they're building a new arena for the Red Wings.
Yeah, it ain't coming any. Dude, hang tight. You know, I've heard that for 17 years.
Now, they were talking about that they had the financing set up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't still believe it?
I believe it, but even if they started, they haven't even finished purchasing the land.
Oh.
I mean, you're talking about the infrastructure. I mean, this is not Vegas or L.A. You can't work all year round, really.
You're saying it's a lot less done of a deal than what the media has been reporting, what I've been reading.
I think it is. Just because how many times can you fool me with these plans that you've had in works for Chris Ilitch? Actually, Mike Jr. first told me about. Do you know when Mike Ilitch Jr. first told me about a new arena for the Wings?
It was in the 90s?
1997, we were in Colorado for the Western Conference Finals, he told me about it. That was 16 years ago.
That was some good times, that feud with the Avalanche. Hopefully with Patrick Waugh being the coach. Well, the Detroit's going to the Eastern Conference, so they can't. Can they really revive that feud at all with Detroit going to the East?
No.
No? Not even Patrick Waugh being the head coach?
No, it's over now because they'll never see them. They won't see him until the finals for the most part. I mean, they'll see him once a year or something. I don't think so. I don't think the Patty Roy thing as a coach is a big deal. I do like the fact that today in the draft, in the NHL draft, that the Wings drafted another Bertuzzi. That was cool.
Ty Domi's kid got drafted.
Ty Domi, Max Domi got drafted today.
Nothing like his dad. He's not a goon.
No, in fact, by the way, I want to give a shout-out. The Buffalo Sabres took a kid from my high school, JT Compher, early in the second round. Shout-out to JT. Thanks, man. The Ty Domi thing is interesting because he's the square opposite of his father. He's the 180th from his dad. He'll score more. He'll do better things on the ice than just punch the hell out of people.
Rebellious kids.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking sometimes.
And the Wings also took the grandson of Andre Pronovo, who played for many years with the Wings and I think for Boston, a couple back in the original 6 years, Montreal. Interesting names taken today in the draft. I don't know. How did your Minnesota Wild do?
Well, I'm a Blue Jackets fan. They had three first-round picks. The Wild traded their first-round pick in a package to Buffalo for Jason Pominville, and that led them all the way to Game 5 of the first round of the Western Conference playoffs.
Hey, look, I love what the Wild have done. I think, the Wild, if anybody hates anybody, the Wings hate Minnesota.
Hey, they could use a little bit of rivalry with somebody.
Well, but Minnesota grabbed the two guys that the Wings thought they were going to get, and, they haven't stopped talking about it since. That was a big deal that those two kids, Parise and Suter, that was a big deal. Here it was bigger than anywhere because I think every Red Wing fan in the world thought Parise and Suter were coming here.
No, you got to go to Sweden to get players for the Red Wings. Leave the American and Canadian guys to other teams.
They got a center from Sweden today in the draft.
Shocking, huh?
Yeah, I was stunned to see his name. Oh, wow. Hey, a center from Sweden. I bet you Lidstrom didn't call on that guy.
So how can we keep calling Detroit Hockey Town when the local NBC affiliate does not show Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, instead showing a fireworks show?
Dude, it ain't just a fireworks show. It is the fireworks show, and it is down 2 million people. No, it's not two. It's about 1.2 million show up at the river. It's the biggest thing that this city has going, like, every year. It's almost Christmas Day here when you do this thing. They plan for it all year long. It's bigger than the parade we have on Thanksgiving. And it's not that – they didn't not show it. It was
I
on
know.
The channel,
they pawned it off on some other low-power station.
Waddle. It was here. It was on. It wasn't on Channel 4, but it was on. Not only that, but Notch, don't you guys get Canada TV there?
We don't get Canada TV here. No, people – that's one of the misperceptions about Minnesota is everybody thinks we're like Eskimos. They get off on the cold, and we're like 1 foot away from the Canadian border at all times. The cities is actually a lot farther away from Canada than most of Michigan is.
No, I know, but I love the – see, there's two Canadian stations we get. We get CBET and CBC. CBC has Hockey Night in Canada.
I'd rather watch that personally.
We don't watch the finals of that anyhow.
I'd rather watch CBC coverage than NBC coverage any day.
Yeah, you get Don Cherry. You get Ron McLean. You get the great play-by-play team. Now, the only thing I will say about NBC is if you don't like Mike Emmerich, there's something wrong with you. Doc's a Michigan guy. I've known Doc forever. And I think Doc's terrific. I do it. I'm not much into Eddie Olczyk, but...
well, he's a Blackhawks guy. He does the color for the Blackhawks games on Comcast Sportsnet when he's not working for NBC. So he was a bit of a homer during the series.
Well, but that's not fair because Mike Emmerich did the New Jersey Devils for 25 years and still does the Devils when they're in the finals or Devils in the.
It's different if you're a play-by-play guy because you're supposed to be the straight man of the pair.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we don't have a real national hockey contract. They have to do contract. They have to do something else to make money. They can't just work for the network because there's not enough work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so they say, okay, we'll use Eddie Olczyk but he's got to do something. He can't just sit around waiting for May and June, and he doesn't get to do games in November, December, and January because they don't even start the damn contract like what, February or March or something.
Well, they're changing that. They're going to show a lot more games, I think.
That's what I hear. No, I do. I hear that NBC Sports Network's going to show more games. There will be more hockey on, which is probably necessary. They had great numbers in the postseason, much better than they anticipated. Their advertisers were in love with them, wanted to yin-yang them. And so I think you will see more hockey. I think that bought them more games down the line.
One more thing before we go.
Why do we have to go? If I'm such a legend, why are we going? By the way, you should have done the Lisa Lampanelli thing when you introduced me with that line.
What's the Lisa Lampanelli thing?
Did you ever watch the Comedy Central roast, man?
Oh, I've seen the roast, yeah.
Hey, Lampanelli does this every time whenever she's talking about anything. She goes, I'll use it for me. Mark the Man Wilson, he's a legend! She does that thing, he's a legend! Everybody's a legend! I thought it was funny. Go ahead.
It is hilarious. But did you hear about Aaron Hernandez? He's now being accused of killing Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Look at you with the funny. Making a funny. Too soon?
It's never too soon.
Never too soon.
Never too soon.
Well, you know what? They will never find the body, so he's got that one.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, he'll never have that in his bag. That Aaron Hernandez story. You know, that has nothing. It has nothing to do with football. I don't know why everybody. You know what I love? This is one thing I love, and by love I mean hate. I hate that thing. As soon as this Hernandez thing came out, they actually give you a running total of how many NFL guys have been arrested since the postseason started. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
27 or something. Can you imagine if the paper came out and showed us how many people from Microsoft were arrested since Windows 9.5 came out? I don't know why we do that with sports, but we don't do with other facets in life.
It's the pedestal.
It's just our
sports athletes are on a pedestal.
Part.
They put the athletes on a pedestal. They expect more out of them because they're role models for the kids. That's why they can't take steroids. Think of the kids. Because if the jocks take steroids, they hit home runs, the kids are going to want to take steroids. We can't have the kids taking steroids.
Here's the deal. It's 2013. Haven't we, ever since Charles Barkley appeared out of his mother's womb, didn't we kind of put the old athletes or role models kind of in the background because I threw out Barkley's name? Because he's no role model for any human being.
Anybody's a role model if you aspire to want to be like them. Even criminals are role models then, using that line of thinking.
Look, I think that the deal is not so much the role model thing, is that I just think it's proliferation of media. And we have nothing better to do, and it's nice and easy. So it seemed like let's do a running tally. We do this in Detroit with all the Lions guys that have been arrested over the years. We've had like 12. We became the Bengals all of a sudden in this town. But and it bothers me to this day because it has nothing to do with football. Zero. No one can ever tell me. Aaron Hernandez, what does that do with his job? Was the paper? If he had worked at Dunder Mifflin selling paper, he would just be another guy in the news that is up for murder. But because he's Aaron Hernandez, New England Patriots, I just don't know what the Patriots. And, the, you know, let's get a comment from Bill Belichick. What? Because that's going to really help my enjoyment of that case.
They're saying it's karma for Spygate, that they still haven't recovered from the karma from Spygate.
Even that story is kind of.
I know, wearing itself out, huh?
What, Spygate?
Yeah.
It just never materialized to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Ditka was the best. You know, I know it's off on a tangent, you just bring that up, but Mike Ditka said the best thing about that. He said, if you want me to, I'll give you my iPad playbook. There's nothing. You still got to stop me. I don't give a crap if you come and watch what I do. What do I care? What do you think you're going to get? What do you think we're going to do so outstandingly different than any other team that would matter that you spied on somebody? Well, to get what? No one has ever answered that to me. No football guy has ever answered it. I've asked that to Gunther Cunningham. I've asked it to Scott Linehan. I asked it to Jim Schwartz. I asked it to Marinelli before Schwartz. I don't get a good answer. What do you do that's so, you know, everybody thinks there's genius material involved in
that's what they want to think. They want you to think that it's rocket science. That's why their playbook is 700 pages long. You don't need a 700-page playbook.
And every guy coming out of college has got to be such a genius, and everyone is, that they're able to grasp all these unbelievably hard plays. Because nobody, how come you never hear, well, we had to cut the guy. He simply couldn't read our playbook. When was the last time someone held a press conference and said, well, we got to let Tim Tebow go because he can't read the playbook? Doesn't know how to do it.
They come up with other reasons to do it because they don't want to make it seem like that what you're trying to teach them is too difficult.
Well, I think what they do is when you're in your meetings, and I've seen meetings.
Because there's no such thing as a bad student, only a bad teacher. So if the player can't read the playbook, that's more on you than it is on the athlete.
Except coaches like to give you the little clues anyhow that you never have to even bother with the playbook just to let you, you know, if you haven't played, you know, on any level of anything.
Yeah.
They give you the little clues in there that tell you how to do it, so you don't have to even bother with the X's and the O's and the things and the, you know, Z formation and Y's and the... They tell you the just remember Y means left, X means right. That kind of that's what they tell these guys, because they are because there are a bunch of dummies that are and they can't all get this supposed tough language. How'd that revolve around Aaron Hernandez? I have no idea, but it should have if it didn't.
Your legend, Mark the Man Wilson.
A legend.
You're right. There are the proliferation of media. There's more blogs and podcasts out there than there are practicing lawyers in America. Do you know that?
You know what though? I liked it. I did. No, maybe not what you just said, but I understand. I bet you, though, that I like this way better than the alternative when we had nothing. I don't think life was just simpler back then. I think it was actually more boring. I like this so much better. I do. I'd rather have it this way than go. If someone were to say tomorrow, all right, here's the deal. We're taking the Internet away.
Oh, God. Can you imagine what life would be like if they just took it away?
And no more phones. You can't. You
no
can
more cell phones?
We're going to go back to the old cell phones where you just have a phone, you make calls, and you can't even text.
And you have to wait till after 7 o'clock so the rates go down.
You're right, till the rates go down. Or sundown. Whatever it's got to be. If it's a time or sundown, then you have to wait. Now, if someone were to say that, would you rather take that simpler life over what you have now?
I love the way life... Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I love the way technology makes everyday life now. You make the sports spectacular what it is, Mark, by coming on. You're my friend, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Notch. I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say.
Legend!